holidays, one goal for many in why they are pursuing financial freedom. In this episode, I talk about the importance for doctors to take time out and how it can make you a better doctor. And also, I talk about my view on points hacking and warning it may be an unpopular view. My name is Dan. Welcome to the Passive Income Doctor podcast.
Just a reminder, this podcast is for entertainment purposes. Nothing here is financial advice. Please speak to your trusted professional advisors. Views expressed by podcast participants are solely their own.
So, currently I'm planning a holiday. My first overseas holiday, actually, in many, many years. Pre-COVID, actually. In this episode, I talk about what holidays means for myself and why I think it's important for doctors to take time out. Also, I'm sure I will get some people who will disagree with me on this topic, but I talk about points hacking, why it can be a trap rather than something that is beneficial that a lot of people talk about in this financial sphere. So first of all, holidays, you know, doctors need to look after their financial, physical, mental health. And this is a mantra that I talk about on my podcast. And I guess for mental health, it is very important to take time out to recharge, to reflect, you know, plan your next career steps or even your life outside of medicine. So, you know, you may have recently undergone a grueling rotation as a trainee doctor, had a tough year as a medical student, may have failed exams, or you might be on the other end, you know, you've become, passed your fellowship exams, become a consultant, but had a tough week in the clinic, you know, a difficult clinical scenario or conflict with work colleagues, you know, the list goes on. You know, even you might be having a tough year, you know, outside of medicine, you know, family issues, health issues. So overall, it is good to take some vacation time where you can reflect and recharge. Now, often can be challenging to have leave approved. You know, anecdote which rings in my mind is when I was working as a junior doctor in the public hospital system, you know, he had, you know, much too, like heaps and heaps of leave, hundreds of hours, and admin said, you must take the leave, you know, only to get rejected when put in the leave application. You know, the reason was, you know, we can't find someone to cover you whilst they're away. But on the other hand, they want you to take the leave, which is very funny. But regardless, let's say now you have your leave approved, you know, and I know I've been guilty of this, you know, when you're meant to be taking the day off or taking a holiday, you just feel this sense of not being productive or, you know, wonder about work. You know, how do you actually ensure that your holiday is a holiday? You're present there with your family, with your friends, and, you know, even with yourself. So obviously it's important not to continuously monitor work emails or, you know, answering all these unnecessary calls. You know, obviously if it's emergency, you might have to prioritize. But here are some tips. You know, number one would be planning ahead. You know, choose a time or time of the year where your workload is expected to be less. Or if you're employed by someone else, you know, what time where other people are not all trying to get leave at the same time, such as Christmas, New Year's. You know, then if it's a less busier time, not school holidays, not the Easter, Christmas period, you know, it's more likely to be approved. Or if you're working for yourself in the private sector, you know, obviously you may not want to be away during the most busy and, you know, subsequently lucrative months. Tip number two would be to actually commit to the time out. So as I touched on before, you know, no monitoring of the emails. You could even consider, you know, not taking the phone, a work phone with you. You know, organize cover, you know, which colleague can cover for you, and you might return the favor when they go on leave. And is there any kind of paperwork, reports, administrative tasks, upcoming presentations that you can complete prior to going on away on your trip, and it'll make you feel much less stressed. So I think if doctors can look after themselves, they can look after patients better also. So in the 2017 World Medical Association Conference, the Doctor's Oath, or also known as Declaration of Geneva, was amended to include the following words: I will attend to my own health, well-being and abilities in order to provide care of the highest standard. So basically, you know, in the past it was the traditional thinking is, you know, doctors or healthcare professionals sacrificing themselves for the patient's benefit. However, now we recognize that, you know, we want our doctors and healthcare workers to be look after themselves so they're not burnt out, so that they can provide high level of care. So holidays, we all know during COVID lockdowns, including in Australia, you couldn't travel overseas. And when the borders opened up in 2022, there was a, you know, rush of travel. It was in the news about massive lines in airports, understaffing, baggage handlers or airports. You know, a lot of them had lost their jobs, unfortunately, during the shutdown period. There's a huge demand for flights and travel and holidays. However, there's a strain in terms of workers. It could be hospitality. It could be, as I said, baggage handlers, flight attendants. And with high demand and, you know, low supply, you know, what happened to prices? They went up. You know, there were very expensive flight prices, hotels, etc. I think it has improved a little bit more recently as time of recording. However, I know for myself, you know, if it's such a chaotic environment and super expensive, to me, that doesn't seem like a very enjoyable experience or favorable time to travel. Of course, you know, if it's something important like a wedding or funeral, you know, sometimes people have no choice but to travel during those peak times. So at the moment, yeah, I'm trying to plan some of my next destinations. You know, some of these lists, I guess, include Southeast Asia, Singapore, Malaysia. I went to Vietnam long time ago. Would like to go there again as well. Japan's on the list. Closer to home, Indonesia. I know, you know, a lot of Australians love going to Bali. And also closer to home, New Zealand as well, which is a beautiful place and haven't been in a long time. So let's talk about the second topic of today, which is reward points and points hacking. You know, often this refers to airline reward points. You can use reward points for gift cards and, you know, random items, but, you know, it's not the most efficient use of the points. So often they are used for hotel stays or flights. So what is a rewards point system? We should start there. It is an incentivization strategy that aims to increase spending through earning store points or credits. Another definition is, you know, these customer reward or loyalty programs are designed to increase customer engagement and purchases. So bear these definitions in mind when you consider the next reward points program. You know, it sounds very great, but look, I would say, you know, why are these huge big profitable companies promoting these so much? It must be insanely profitable to them. So they're winning, not the average customer. Now, obviously, their websites such as Point Hacks or, you know, a lot of YouTubers that talk about how they have their wins or get quote-unquote free flights and things like that. But I think you should bear in mind for the average consumer or person, it may be not as much benefit. Some people will say that, you know, these reward programs are great. You were going to spend the money anyways, you know, purchasing stuff. But I'm not so sure. You know, if you had a reward card, you could easily rationalize to yourself that your next purchases are necessary. I mean, you want to hit, you know, their spend targets, $3,000 in 3 months or $10,000 or whatever it is. Basically, it's very easy to lie to yourself, which I think it's very important to have that awareness as well. You know, a lot of credit cards might market themselves as exclusive, you know, have access to events or a very cool looking card. So I won't name any names here, but I'm sure you know which ones I'm talking about. But often these ones have high annual fees, you know, or higher percentage transaction charges, which adds up over the course of a year. You know, some of these, they say, look, the annual fee might be, say, $500, but you get that back as a hotel credit. But I would say, though, that you are still spending that money, and there may be some restrictions on how you can redeem those rewards. And also, as I said, there may be targets. You must spend a certain amount within a certain time period. So again, it may change your behavior. And I guess, you know, these are what these big companies are aiming to do. They spend millions of dollars in research, how to get people to use their program, spend more with them, so they would engage, you know, psychologists or market researchers to try and make their product the most appealing and draw more customers in to spend more money. So many points hacking experts and websites say the best use of the points is upgrading from economy to business reward seats. But often these are limited, you know, it may certain times where you can redeem them. It may not be a suitable time for when you choose to fly, you know, certain time of the year or super early flight, super late flight. And unless you're flying all the time and you have the, you know, gold, platinum, whatever they call it, status, you won't get the priority to redeem these business reward seat upgrades. So I guess it's in essence, it's very hard to do so. And anecdotally from some of the doctor colleagues and some of the online groups, it's become harder and harder over the last few years. So look, what are some other reasons why I think there's a downsides to rewards programs? So another one would be it takes up time and effort. You know, you have to take time and effort to keep track of the points, keep looking at the websites to see when the next credit card is and what the program is, what the rewards are, how do you apply. And then also you can spend a lot of time, and I've only briefly dipped my toe in the water in terms of how to best use your points and, you know, conversions and, you know, can really get really confusing. A non-financial concern would be a privacy concern. You know, these loyalty programs keep personal details such as names, address, date of birth. And, you know, it's just one more thing in this modern era which can be vulnerable to data breaches or hacking. For example, the Good Guys loyalty program in Australia, I think it was in 2021, there was some personal information of clients that were accessed inappropriately or breached by a third-party company, My Rewards. So that was accessed by an unauthorized user. So this is just one example. Another downside when, you know, credit card churning, when, you know, applying for a credit card, getting the massive sign-on bonus, then later cancelling the card. If you do this frequently, it can affect your credit when you try and go for an investment property loan. Banks frown upon frequent credit card applications. It's a hit to the credit score. And also as well, I think a lot of these credit card companies have wised up to what people were doing. So I think now, unless you, I think, pay the annual fee or keep the card for a certain period of time, you don't actually get the bonus or the sign-on bonus. If you're a regular listener of my show, you know that, you know, growing a property portfolio is a great way to build wealth in Australia. And hence, if you want to grow a property portfolio, you want to protect your borrowing power. So obviously, it's a caveat is that if property investing done properly, it can be a great way to build wealth. If you choose the wrong properties, it can be disastrous. But anyway, you know, reduce anything that reduces borrowing power, you want to get rid of or at least minimize. These include things such as car loans, novated leasing through salary packaging and credit cards. I know some people who don't have a credit card at all. Or I would say, you know, one thing you may consider is if you're going for investment property loan, to cancel excess credit cards or reduce your limit. Another thing to bear in mind with these credit card companies or reward points or points hacking is a lot of influencers or, you know, finfluencers, they get paid from these credit card companies. You know, there's a lot of money, again, in this sector, so they can afford to spend big money in terms of ads or sponsorships or promotions. You know, a lot of the time these influencers will disclose that the post is sponsored. But again, you know, let's say teenagers, they may be more susceptible to this way of promotion and advertising. A lot of beginner investors may not have much financial education, and if they sign up for multiple credit cards, they could easily fall into debt traps in terms of racking up huge credit card debts. Comparing credit cards that don't have reward points to ones that do, the reward credit card, reward point credit cards, they often have a high interest rate and higher annual fees. So for some people who don't, you know, spend that much, more frugal, you know, may not get much as benefit from these reward credit cards. And paradoxically, these people, you know, they may start spending more. You know, they want to justify that they don't feel like they're missing out on, you know, the next big tranche of reward points, for example. So again, as I said, these things may change your behavior. Another factor is reward points inflation. You know, obviously inflation is a topical topic in terms of currency, you know, devaluation of currency. But, you know, with the points, the airlines have suffered a lot of profit hits, especially with COVID and when there was, you know, travel essentially ground to a halt. One way of recouping the money is making the reward program less favorable for the consumer. For example, you need more points to redeem the same benefit, the same flight, for example. So in essence, the points have become devalued. So you need to spend more of your actual physical cash to get the same amount of points. And then the points doesn't get you as much. You have no control over changing policy with reward points. I guess one way to combat points devaluation is actually use the points kind of regularly, I guess. So in conclusion, do I think some people will benefit from, you know, credit card points hacking? Yeah, potentially. But I think for a majority of people, especially those early on in the investing journey or people that have struggled with consumer debt in the past and trying to get their finances in order, I think they should approach it with caution. You know, this could turn out to be a trap for them. And yeah, you know, with credit cards, a lot of people don't view it as their own money, you know, just worry about it in the future. And this can be a recipe for poor financial habits. You know, it's not uncommon to hear some people have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 credit card debts. You know, often, I'm sure it didn't start off that big, but a little bit there, a little bit there, you know, interest accruing month on month, and it can build up over time in terms of the debt. And I'll look, finish this episode by saying, I'm not saying you must not use reward programs or loyalty programs. You know, there are some out there, you know, for example, for grocery shopping, and, you know, we all have to eat. So I guess if you're happy with these companies or corporates having access to some of your information, which is a topic for another show, I guess, then, yeah, by all means, go ahead. And in terms of flight reward programs, you know, I'll say myself, I got a sizable amount of Qantas points. This was in the context where I was trying to negotiate a better interest rate with my bank. And when they couldn't offer a reduced interest rate like they did in the past. They said, look, the best they can do is offer some reward points. So look, I took them and I'll be looking at using them. But I would say that I'm not going out of my way to spend more to gain more points, you know, because as I said, I don't think this is a way to improve your financial situation. Thanks for listening to today's show. Please take a moment now to hit the subscribe button and share the podcast, because this will help others benefit also. So until next time, keep taking steps to improve your financial health.